From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Jack Sondericker reading The Hallelujah Trail by Bill Gulick. Now, let's begin with The Hallelujah Trail. Chapter 1. After carefully examining the configuration of James Oliver Perry's head at the age of 5, an eminent phrenologist had solemnly told the boy's mother that her child's talent bump was well-rounded, though small.
"He will be a painter, a musician, or a writer. Now, as to his greatness bump."
"Ah, intriguing, most intriguing. Does Madame Perry wish a detailed reading?"
This, of course, was a genteel way of asking if the fond mother thought enough of her offspring to up the examining fee from $1 to 2. Naturally, the fond mother did. Run-of-the-mill head feelers at this stage of the game were apt to rapturously discover a bump which positively indicated that the child had the makings of a future president. But this doctor of phrenology, being French and subtle, phrased the child's prospects more modestly.
"He will know great men, madame. Many of them. He will be the trusted friend and confidant of 1, 2, 3... Yes, 3, madame. Presidents of the United States of America. I am positive of that. Now, if Madame Perry should desire a further examination..."
Madame Perry already had invested $2 more of the housekeeping funds than her husband, a Washington City attorney of modest income, would be likely to approve, so the head feeling had gone no further. But the eminent doctor's predictions had affected the entire youth, education, and training of James Oliver Perry, who was to be, his mother fondly believed, a man of talent destined to walk with the great. Gingerly rubbing his head, which was aching abominably after too large a night on the town with his wartime reporter friends from the New York Tribune, Jim Perry stared gloomily out of the train window at the rain-swept landscape, thinking with infinite tenderness of his long-dead mother, brooding with an experienced newspaperman's cynicism on the 30-year past predictions of the charlatan who had taken 2 badly needed dollars from an innocent, trusting woman. "Feel of my head now, doctor. Gently, for God's sake. Big, isn't it? All I ever painted was a picket fence. Can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, yes, I have written a bit, if you want to call chasing around the country covering riots, political conventions, strikes, suffragist rallies, and wars, writing. Sure, I've walked with the great, Abe Lincoln, Andy Johnson. I've walked many a mile trying to keep up with them. And I knew Grant long before Shiloh, Vicksburg, and Richmond, when he was only too happy to trade me an exclusive story for a cigar and a couple of snorts of booze. So I've got to admit you've hit a fair share of your predictions, eminent doctor. But try again. Feel of my head. Oh, gently, I said. Gently. All right, you've found it. Can you locate any bump that tells you Grant will give me a hearing? He's president of the United States now, you know. Am I wasting my time? Should I just keep the report, hop the next train back to New York, and kiss my promised $10,000 goodbye? After mentally summoning the eminent doctor from whatever limbo he now did business in, Jim Perry leaned back, closed his eyes, and waited hopefully for a voice, a token, a sign. Nothing happened. With a sigh of disappointment, he folded his hands over the locked attaché case on his lap, resolutely closed his ears to the clanking of train wheels and the babble of voices in the crowded coach, and fell into a light, uneasy sleep. To President Ulysses S. Grant, this had been a long, tedious, tiring day. He had been dignified, as his advisers had cautioned him to be. He had been patient. He had been polite, diplomatic, pleasant, sympathetic. In a word, he had been everything which by nature he was not, and the effort had been wearing. Standing before the tall
Sample complete. Ready to continue?